Welcome to the University of Coruscant. As part of your enrollment here, you have access to the attached Holonet recording. You've selected a lecture by Dr. Sunny Ravencourt on Ancient Sith. You've selected a lecture by Dr. Sunny Ravencourt on Darth Zanna. If you have any questions about this lecture or wish to contact us, please visit universityofcoruscant.com.
Wake up! Wake up! It is time to shine, my wonderful star. It's time for us all to be heroes of the holodrama.
Todd, what time is it? And who is outside my door, and why are you in my room?
It's 3 a.m. That's the director. And the other end of the trailer is Womp Rat's territory. But we're in negotiations.
Amazing. Everything in that sentence is wrong. Calm down, Francis! I'm coming! Just let me put on whatever is in this bag labeled costume, which is somehow misspelled. Wait, what the force? There's just a scribbled note in here. Make sure you wear pants.
Yes, you must wear pants. Strict orders from the studio.
Get out of here! I'll be out in a minute! Fine! I'm making a calf, and so help me, I'm gonna do a lecture for the university right now just to make this maniac wait. Todd, is the holo running?
It's been running the whole time, sir.
What? You? Todd, you need to learn boundaries! Fine. You hear that, Francis? That's the sound of delay. Last week, we learned the story of one of my all-time favorite Sith Lords, Darth Bane. Well, actually, we heard the first half of his story. The second half can be told through his apprentice, the human female, Darth Zanna. Zanna was originally named Rain, but like Bane did with his name, she cast it off when she became a Sith. As a child, she had some Force connection, but it wasn't great. She was very young, probably 6 or 7, when she was recruited by the Jedi to learn to fight the Sith. It's unclear how she ended up on Rusan, but she was there when Bane was there and got separated from her group, which was presumed dead. When the thought bomb went off, she protected herself with a sort of Force bubble, probably one of those instinctive things that just kind of happen to children with the Force. Either way, she was alive and wandering around a desolate battlefield. On Rusan, there's a sentient species called Bouncers. They're a floating orb-like being, and they're mildly telepathic. Rain befriended one after it saved her, and then she saved it. Its name was La, and they were besties. Unfortunately, when some Jedi troopers show up and kill your bestie, you tend to react poorly. This happened, and Rain kind of freaked out. She unknowingly snapped the Jedi's necks with her mind, right as Darth Bane himself was passing by. Bane, who was on the hunt for an apprentice, decided that this Jedi-murdering child showed exactly the right amount of potential and picked her up. And from that moment on, she was Darth Zanna. The story of Darth Zanna is the story of Darth Bane. Once Zanna and Bane left Rusan, you really can't separate their tales. Fun fact, Bane just left her there. He took his ship and flew away, telling her, "Good luck, kid. We'll see you on Onderon if you're tough enough." I should have done that with Todd.
I'm the one that got you that ship on Canto Bight, remember?
Don't you test me, Todd. I haven't finished my calf, and the Womp Rats are eyeing my breakfast. Anyways, my point was that sometimes tough love is the Sith way. While Zanna's figuring out a way to get off Rusan, Bane goes to Duxon, a moon of Onderon, because he's looking for the tomb of Freeda Nadd. Bane did love his ancient Sith. Well, he found that tomb, and Freeda Nadd's holocron, but it came with some bugs. Literal ones. The bugs attacked Bane. A couple attached to his skin, causing tremendous pain. Bane opened the holocron to learn that they were called Orbalisks, and they were wildly tough, tougher than lightsabers. But they grew on their host, expanding and multiplying, and if you tried to get them off, well, they'd emit a poison that would kill the host. And that host was Bane. But if you could look past the never taking them off thing, they were a heck of a suit of armor. And they fed off the dark side, and that's two parts of a Dantooine daiquiri right there. Add in the poison, and I think it's called an Alderaanian avalanche, but I teach history, not mixology. Xana wanders around Rusan until she finds an unwitting crew and a shuttle who's willing to help a poor, innocent human female child. Pause here. Xana sees the weakness in them and thinks of Bane, which ultimately causes her to use them and then kill them all. I think you can see the flip here. She is done with Jedi life. She meets up with Bane and they're off to a planet called Umbria and spend 10 years training. I find that masters and apprentices in the Sith world have a strange way of being opposites. Think of Darth Sidious, a master manipulator, a sneaky politician, and a sorcerer. And then you have Vader, a sledgehammer, the face of the Empire, well, I mean, the helmet of the Empire, and a guy that has zero problems bringing his lightsaber to a fight. Bane and Xana were very much the same, but reversed. Bane was a physical monster, a towering human who struck fear into those who beheld him. Xana, well, she was the opposite. She was a beauty who specialized in Sith sorcery and was twice as much finesse as raw strength. Let's stop here for a second because it would be a crime to just gloss over Darth Xana's grasp on Sith sorcery and how much it underlines the rule of two. Bane didn't understand Sith sorcery. He couldn't do it. He did know that it was absolutely terrifying and a deadly skill that could warp and melt the mind of even the strongest of warriors, regardless of whatever resolve they might have thought they had. So, think about what kind of belief it would take to not only let your apprentice learn these skills, but encourage her growth in this, all while telling her that it's her job to grow strong enough one day to challenge and kill him. I mean, how strongly do you have to believe in your brand new rule of two to slowly and deliberately create the weapon of your own demise? That's fanaticism. I mean, that is walking the talk. It should be noted that both of them were playing in the shadows. One of the key tenets of the rule of two is that the galaxy can't find out the Sith exist, or they'll be hunted and killed, and then the whole game is over, right? You have to make things work behind the scenes, or leave no witnesses. Misdirection is a tool that Bane and Xana wielded constantly. Xana would get out more than Bane would, and took advantage of her undeniable beauty as a young adult. She was a little more willing to push the edges of seclusion and rely on her deception. Bane was very much in isolation at this point because those Orbalisk things that provided some armor and increased his powers, feeding on the dark side, well, now they were all over him. He's a fully armored death machine, but he's not too easy on the eyes. Incidentally, to protect those eyes, he had to wear a mask, otherwise the Orbalisks would grow right over top of his face. Instead, he'd send Xana out to do the work. Very similar to the Sidious-Vader relationship. Actually, there are a lot of repeated similarities between those two sets, so just keep a running tally in your head. I'll stop bringing them up, but everybody should be noting these. Bane would just plan the missions. Xana would execute. And once you have that physical separation, well, people start to grow in different directions. That's always dangerous. One mission sent Xana to meet a nobleman named Hetton, who collected ancient Sith artifacts. Hetton wants nothing more than to be a Sith, and when Xana reveals her abilities, well, Hetton is basically starstruck. He's got assassins on the payroll, sure, but they are nothing. He begs her to let him be her apprentice. She takes him to go kill Bane, but then refuses to help. Bane easily eliminates Hetton, but then does something totally outside Xana's plan. You see, the rule of two says that the master needs to be the powerful one. If he's not, then he's not worthy. Xana didn't team up with this Hetton guy. That would be cheating. But Bane flips out and is furious at Xana, attacking her and nearly killing her and ending the Rule of Two before it even starts. Why? It's the Orbalisks. They're a blast furnace for the Force inside of him, and he can't really control it. Both Bane and Xana realize that this could be a problem in the long run. Xana pulls off a tremendous feat by posing as a Jedi Padawan and going to Tython, the Jedi homeworld. I have always been amazed at how good a Sith can impersonate a Jedi and mask the dark side. It's like the number one survival tool in the Sith utility belt. She does it, but while she's cleaning up some loose ends, namely a childhood cousin who recognizes her named Derevit, well, the escape is noticed. The Jedi dispatch a crew of five to investigate this supposed Sith, who are supposed to be extinct right now. Are you ready for Darth Xana to shine? Because we're about to go supernova here. The Jedi catch up to them, and Xana ends up dusting four of the five Jedi with her double-bladed lightsaber. Bane got the other one, but ends up taking a whole bunch of lightning and a backfire. A ton of the Orbalisks die, and Bane is being poisoned in a big way. Xana gets Bane to a healer who, after some Sith convincing, heals Bane. But the bigger problem is that now the Jedi know, so Xana does what any good Sith sorceress would do. She turns her cousin insane, hands him a lightsaber, chops up the healer, and has the cousin attack the next ship of investigating Jedi. The Jedi take him out and are convinced that this poor cousin was the Sith they were looking for. Case closed. Xana and Bane are in the clear again, Orbalisk free and ready to continue the Rule of Two. And they do continue the Rule of Two for a long time. But Bane is getting old and he's kind of freaking out. Xana is getting stronger and stronger, but Bane is getting weaker. And that's not cool. Xana is supposed to challenge him in a proper conflict, not wait for him to become decrepit and old. That's not how the Order is going to get stronger. He thinks that Xana might be a coward, so he starts distracting her while he starts looking for how to transfer his essence so he can start over in another body and get a brand new apprentice and do this whole thing over again. In Bane's search, he gets captured by a team led by an assassin known as the Huntress, hired by none other than the daughter of the guy that helped him heal from the Orbalisks. Small galaxy, eh? Well, Bane gets out, but Xana shows up and she is super mad. She's found out that Bane is looking for immortality, and Bane was wrong about Xana. Xana wasn't a coward. Xana was planning her perfect opportunity just as Bane had taught her. But now it was Bane breaking the rules, and she was not having it. She's got an apprentice of her own, and she attacks Bane. Bane somehow escapes, and for good measure, takes the Huntress as his apprentice. Now we've got masters and apprentices all over the place, and that's got all the lasting power of a Mon Cal on Tatooine. Oh, sorry, Todd. So you just know there's gonna be a final battle, right? Xana's apprentice kind of flakes out and takes off. The Huntress, now Darth Cognis, is recognized as basically the next decent apprentice, and Bane and Xana agree to fight, the winner taking Cognis as the apprentice. They say styles make fights, and this one is a doozy. Bane gets the upper hand with his tremendous lightsaber talent, and Xana fires back with sorcery, trying to take over his mind. It looks like Bane's style is gonna win out, and he's gonna finish Xana when she pulls out all the stops and abandons her lightsaber, going totally defenseless to use all of her concentration to summon Force tendrils, these arms of pure dark side which will obliterate anything they touch. Bane nearly gets to Xana before a random tendril catches him and cuts his arm clean off his body. Bane collapses and unleashes his final weapon, using his Force essence training to leave his body a smoldering pile of ash and send his mind into Xana's, trying to take it over and control her body forever. They battle, But in the end, Darth Zanna banishes Bane into the void. The beautiful, terrible Darth Zanna takes Darth Cognis as her apprentice, and they melt back into the darkness, continuing the Sith influence on the galaxy through the Rule of Two for the next 1,000 years. Wow, time really got away from me on this one. I guess I should get to the set. I hope it's not too far from the trailer.
You are done, yes. Well, we are almost ready to shoot the exciting scene with the famous Lusa Thieno. She's done over 50 fantastic holodramas. I will be right back.
I see you're wearing pants. Nice work.
Huh. So you guys have just been waiting outside my trailer this whole time? Yeah, lady. I mean, I try to follow the direction of the art department, or in this case, the note in the bag. And if you're a famous holodrama actress, why don't I recognize you? And are you smoking a death stick at 3 a.m.?
What are you, my doctor? I'm a very specialized actress. I tend to die early in these types of hollows. Actually, I've died in all 57 of them.
You've died in 57 hollows?
Yes, so you are both outside. Don't worry. We'll add all the background and snow and cold later. It will look great. Miss Thieno, you walk into the shot from the right, next to Dr. Ravencourt, and say your line. And action.
Hello, can you help me find them?
What was that?
Cut, that was perfect. I do so enjoy a good ad-lib, Dr. Ravencourt. I'm sorry the sound of the tauntaun was so loud. Don't worry about it. We'll add the beast and the blood later. Miss Thieno, you were phenomenal, as one would expect with your reputation.
Whatever. That's 58. See you clowns later.
Todd?
Yes, sir?
I'm starting to have my doubts about this project.
This concludes your selected lecture from the University of Coruscant. For all questions or to contact us, please visit theuniversityofcoruscant.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Sunny Ravencourt, and the legal droids behind me... No, I'm not going to say your names. They want me to remind you that if you've enjoyed this show, please subscribe on iTunes and YouTube and leave a review or a comment. It helps us out tremendously, and it allows the university to continue to provide you the best in Star Wars history. Are you going to pay me for another take? Well, then I'm not going to do one.
This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit red5network.com.